the message that I've been on for a few weeks now, because there is much more to mine out of this, much more revelation. You know, seems like half the congregation has been gone for a couple weeks now because of the summer vacation, and now today, I guess, with Labor Day weekend. I tell you, I hope they're listening to this online. It's going to be a good message. However, this one's going to be an illustrated sermon, so that's going to be very difficult to get the fullness out of it. So y'all are blessed is what I'm trying to tell you. You're going to be blessed with the message today. It's a very powerful message. I hope I do a good job of explaining it, but even if I don't, I ask you to just try and look past my ability to the truth of what I'm teaching today, because this is absolutely foundational to walking an awesome, powerful walk with God. To the degree we get this, what I'm going to be teaching today, to the degree we get this, we will be set free. We'll be liberated in our walk with God. To the degree that we don't get this, we will remain in bondage to the dictates of our flesh. I've been teaching on how to walk in the Spirit, and that's what I'm continuing on, walking in the Spirit. Is Brian in the house? No, he'll be back shortly. Okay. So I need him for the skit, so I'm going to go a different route just for a few minutes until he comes in here. So let me go ahead and give you a few scriptures, give you an idea of what I'm going to be talking about. Darius. Why is that not coming up? All right, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. We'll go low tech, which is the best anyhow. You should always bring your Bible. You should be living by this, carrying it with you everywhere you go. This is the manual to life. Romans chapter 6. Let me see a show of hands when you're there. All right, three of you are with me. Romans chapter 6. We got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All right. Okay, Romans chapter 6. Paul says this, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, in the first 5 chapters, Paul's been laying out the argument for grace, that we are no longer under law, but under grace, that they are two completely different ministries, and you cannot mix the two. You have to make a decision. Paul's calling them to a decision. Make up your mind. You either continue in law, under the law, which means you need to do everything that the law calls you to, and he says, good luck with that one. And he says, or you're under grace, and it's all by grace. Just receive it. Your sins have been forgiven. They've been washed away. There's no more earning anything from God. This is all by grace. He says if there's any works in it, it's no longer grace. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. And if you mix any little bit of grace in with works, then works is no longer works. It's one or the other. Jesus said it this way, that it's like putting new wine in an old wineskin. If you do that, the new wine will burst the wineskin, the wine will be spilled out, and the wineskin is ruined. You lose the wine and the wineskin. You lose them both. You cannot mix the two. So Paul says, all right, so we're under grace. So Romans 6:1, he says, so what am I saying therefore? Shall we live in sin because we're under grace? And then he says, God forbid. Certainly not. The Greek words there for certainly not is about as strong as you can get in the Greek language without swearing. He's saying, absolutely, positively, no. It's a resounding no in the Greek. And he says, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We've died to sin. Now this is what I want you to see. Okay. You tell them. Okay, it's off. Actually, I may just roll with Jay doing it. Let's just stick with this, Derek. I did that. I turned it off. I thought, oh, wait, I turned it on too soon. All right. So what I'm going to be talking about is the fact that we are born spiritually dead and then what happened in the new birth. So Paul says, shall we sin because we're under grace? No. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? In fact, I'm just going to continue here with Romans 6 for now. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, I want you to notice how many times he says here that we died to sin. Just in these verses. I mean, it's all throughout the New Testament. He says it 5 times in 5 verses here. Back in verse 2, he says, how shall we who died to sin? Now, the Greek word there for sin is a noun, not a verb. He's not saying we died to sinning, which is how most of us read this. This is an important distinction. He's not saying we died to sinning. Otherwise, you read that we died to sin. Well, I don't quite get that because, I mean, I still sin. And all Christians we know still do. So how does this work? Well, right there, I just gave you the answer. It's a noun. It's not a verb. He's saying it's harmartia, not harmartema, which is the verb form of it. Harmartia is a person, place, or thing. What he's talking about is the sin nature. We died to the sin nature. The sin nature has been separated from us. That's what it means to have died, to be separated from. We died to the sin nature. You with me? Isn't that good? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on, wait a minute, as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Now that's another kind of a strange deal there. Baptized into his death, and he uses that throughout this. He continues talking about baptism. In fact, the next verse, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. This whole thing about baptism, just so you understand this. Baptism is a very interesting word. It's used throughout the New Testament in very interesting ways. There's a baptism of water. There's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized into his death. They talk about being, they were those who went through the sea with Moses. It says they were baptized into Moses through the Red Sea. I mean, what's all this baptism? We were baptized into Christ, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, in the body. We were baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit. All it means, it's a Greek word that means you become one with. Is I think it's the best way to put it. You become one with. It's like saying, I was baptized into my profession. You know, you went to school for years, you start working, I mean, it just becomes who you are, it's your life, you're baptized into the medical field, you're baptized into the, you know, whatever field. You become one with it. All of those people who went through the wilderness with Moses and went through the Red Sea, it was his ministry that God had called him to deliver these people, and they went through all kinds of stuff with him, and it says they were baptized into Moses, into his ministry. It just means that you become one, you relate to, you have the same experience with. It's all these things. That's why being baptized in water means you just become, the word also means to be submerged. You get submerged in water. You become one with the water. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, he just comes upon you and around you and on you, and you become one with him. You're baptized into the Holy Spirit. And here what it's saying is, when we accept a Christ into our life, that our old man died the same death that Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, do you know that no one could kill Jesus? No matter how hard they tried, it was impossible to kill Jesus. Now, I don't totally get this. I know it's right, I know it's true, but I don't really get it. But that's because I'm mortal and so are you, and all we ever know is mortal. We don't know immortality. They make movies that kind of play with this, you know, immortality, and there at least I think, and some I'm thinking of right now, that if you chop their head off, then that's the only way you can do it, right? Well, here, even doing that doesn't do it. I don't get it. But you can't kill them. You know why? Because it's the spirit that gives life to the body, and Jesus' spirit was alive. He was perfect. His body was never stained with sin, so his body didn't even die. His body was alive. I'm kind of getting off a tangent here, but this is good stuff. Jesus' body never experienced the staining of sin. Right? And his soul and his spirit were perfect, and so death never entered him, and therefore you cannot kill him. His spirit is what gives life. It says the body without the spirit is what? Is dead. It's the spirit that gives life. That's why Jesus said to the people who were getting mad at him, he said, no one can take my life. I lay it down and I can pick it up again. But he said right there, no one can take my life. He meant it. You literally could not take his life. So how did he die? How did Jesus die? Because he died on the cross. That's exactly it. He took our sins on him. That's the only way he could die. And then he says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he gave up the ghost and died. But he took our sins upon him, which is what killed him. And then he died, and he went to hell, and he was there for 3 days. Now, the Bible says when we accept Christ into our life, our old man is crucified with Christ. We experience the same thing that he experienced on the cross, the exact same thing. And Jesus was raised from the dead, and then God breathed the Spirit into Jesus, raised him from the dead. You know Jesus was born again? Did you know that? A lot of people don't know that either, and that sounds blasphemous to the ears of many people to say Jesus was born again. But he was actually born again in hell. That's why the Bible, previous to that event, always refers to him as the only begotten of the Father. After that event, it refers to him as the firstborn. He's the firstborn of many brethren. Jesus was born again in hell. And that's what happens to us. We die spiritually, and then God breathes his spirit into us, and we are born again by the Spirit of God. So here it's saying we were baptized into his death. It means we became one with him. We experienced the exact same thing that Jesus experienced. That's what it's talking about. All right? Now I'm going to demonstrate this a little bit up here today, and then I'll probably talk through it a little bit. Just kind of bear with me. Doing an illustrated sermon is kind of tricky for me, but I really want you to see this. So, if we would, why don't you have my body, soul, and spirit. Would you bless us? Come on up here. I'd like you to stand right here. Body, soul, and spirit. Well, no, actually, you're going to get born again first. I mean, born. Not born again. Where's Noah? Come on, buddy. Okay, now, you're going to need to use your imagination a little bit, all right? Can you help me out with some imagination? If this really doesn't go over well, it's your imagination. That's all I have to say. Okay, so this is us. This is all of you. Oh, get off my sheet. In your mother's womb. You're in the womb right now, all right? And, sorry, not a very good womb here, but... And then we all get born.
Hooray!
It's a boy. And so then we are born. Now, this is the body. This is our soul. And this is our spirit. Okay, I wanted to have that cross up here, but we'll do without it. Hey, where's your robe, man? Didn't you have it over there? Because I wanted to get crucified and stay up here, but that's all right. We'll do without it. Okay. All right. So this is the spirit, uncooperative, because he's sinful. That's the sinful nature. That's what it does, man. Just doesn't listen to you. Doesn't do what you say. Just full of pride. No. So this is our spirit, this is our soul, and this is our body. Now, the Bible teaches that we are born spiritually dead. Even as a child, when we're first born, I mean, as an infant, I didn't want to have an infant up here, so imagination. So this is us as a new birth. Now, let me give you some scriptures to kind of bear this out a little bit. We're born spiritually dead, which means we're born with a sin nature. Here's a scripture, Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man, because a lot of people don't believe this original, the whole doctrine of original sin, right? They believe we're actually born good, and that it's through an environment that we learn to do bad. Because they don't read the Bible, apparently. No, just... Therefore, and they'll actually use some scriptures to kind of bear that out. They'll talk about, well, I don't want to go into all that. I just want to show you that that's not true. Therefore, just as through one man, what man is this? Adam. Sin entered the world. Now, was that before you came into the world? Adam, was he before or after you? Okay, so this is before us. Sin entered the world and death through sin. Now, what is death? The biblical definition of death. It doesn't mean you cease to exist. What's it mean? Separation from God, because he is life. So your spirit man is separated from God, and the Bible says darkness enters in because of it. Deep darkness, it says. That's why I use the color of black, because the Bible talks about blackness, darkness, in describing our soul, our spirit, and our body. So it says that sin entered the world as a result of what Adam did, and death through sin, and thus death spread to most people. Oh, is that not what it says? Death spread to who? All men. All right, next verse, Ephesians 2, 1, 3. And you, it says, he made alive, which is not what we're focusing on right now, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you all once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. That word disobedience is very interesting. It actually, in the Greek, it actually means unbelief. They're the children of unbelief, and therefore they disobey, right? The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves. We all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by what? By nature. This is the nature, children of wrath, just as the others. And then it goes on to say, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. And then it's because he made us alive in Christ, right? But we're not going there right now. I just love it. It's hard not to say it. But we were, all of us, it was our nature. This is our nature. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Next verse, Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Not one person on the planet righteous. How can God make a carte blanche statement about mankind in this way unless all of man is born spiritually dead? Otherwise, certainly someone would have lived a good life. I mean, if he started off right, if all of us started off pure, somebody by now would have lived right. And yet God declares over and over and over numerous scriptures, I was going to put them all in there, and I thought, no, I don't want to take a bunch of time on this. But God talks about mankind as a whole as being evil from birth. For all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. The wicked are estranged, Psalm 58:3. The wicked are estranged from the womb. To be estranged means to be separated from or foreign to. That's what the Hebrew word there means. To be separated from, what's it talking about? Separated from what? From the source of life, God. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. As soon as they are born, because of the sin nature. Look at this. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. God is instructing his people. He's saying, listen, your children have foolishness in their heart because of the sin nature. You need to use the rod of correction to put them on the right path. And then as they get older, it changes from the rod of correction to the word of correction. The word is still there from the beginning, but then it goes only the word of correction. But in the beginning, the point I'm trying to make here is that it's from birth. It's from childhood. How many of you had to teach, if you have children, how many did you have to teach them to be selfish? I think one of the first words most kids learn is mine. How many of you had to be taught or had to teach your children to be rebellious? No, it's in the heart of a child because of the sin nature. You guys are standing awfully close. You know, you can give yourself a little room. Yeah, you are one. Okay, very good. So, anyhow, this is the case. We are born this way, and I want you to see that. But then we grow up, right? We get older. Yeah, hurry up. We grow up. We get older. And you did a good job, Noah. Yes. And I want you to notice that, you know, maybe it's not quite as solid black because it's not that we have any less sin. We just get a little more sophisticated about our sin. We don't just say, mine, mine. You know, we get a little more sophisticated about just kind of manipulating and then taking what we want, right? Etc. We get a little better at it, but nonetheless, the sin nature remains the same. Now, what happens here is that someone at some point then comes up maybe and shares the gospel with them, right? Derek, why don't you come share the gospel with them since you're a man of God and you know this is what God's called you to and just, you know, just kind of mimic blah, blah, blah. So he's sharing the gospel and telling them about Christ. They come under, they get it and they think, this is it. I want this. I want to accept Christ. So then we end up bowing. We humble ourselves before God. We pray and we accept Christ. When this happens and in this moment that happens, the Bible says that our old man is crucified with Christ. So he dies and God breathes into us a new man. Christ now comes into us. Amen. Thank you, Derek, for leading them to Christ. Praise God. So you guys can go ahead and get back up. Now, what I want you to notice here is what part of us was born again? The spirit. Not the soul and not the body. This did not get born again. That's why I've said many times, you know, if you were overweight before you get born again, you'll be overweight afterwards. If you were intelligent before you got born again, you'll be intelligent afterwards. If you were stupid before you got born again, you'll still be stupid. Because this is your soul, which consists of your mind, your will, and your emotions. This is your body, which is basically, it's just a vessel, but a vessel that gets trained. And so it still has all the, these are just all the markings of sin on it. And then we have our spirit. Now, what happens is we come into contact with other human beings in the earth, right? Every day we come into situations. And what I'm trying to teach is, what am I teaching on? Walking in the spirit, all right? So I just wanted to explain, this is important that we get this picture. Your arm's getting tired? Okay. By the way, you died and you were buried. So go ahead and be buried. All right, so he's buried. He's gone. Now, just for his sake, so he doesn't have to sit up here the whole time, can you all just keep pretending that he's dead and buried, and we'll let him get back to his seat. So, good job, Spirit. All right, so now this is reality. This is us. This is you when you're born again. Now, what do we do from here? Where do we go from here? What the Bible calls us to is transformation and sanctification. You'll read many verses. This will help you. You'll read many verses that say you are sanctified, that you are holy, that you are justified. And then you'll read other verses that say, be holy, for I am holy. Well, wait a minute. Be holy. I thought I was holy. And then other verses that say, be sanctified or being sanctified. Well, I thought I was sanctified. And so on. It says, be saved. Many verses talk about being saved. And yet, it says that we are saved. Here's why. We are saved. We're being saved. We are holy. We're being made holy. We are sanctified. We're being made sanctified. This is how you rightly divide the word of truth. You need to understand spirit, soul, and body, or you'll be confused reading the New Testament. So when you read it in context and it talks about you're perfect in Christ, and you think, I don't feel perfect. I don't look perfect. It's because you're not seeing it correctly. That's what he's talking about. You are perfect in Christ. So, and then what God is saying is, listen, now I want you to be transformed. Oh, yeah, and here's something. And Roger's not here of all the days. I needed Roger to be here, so someone else has to fill him in. Remember, he said, what's the difference between the sin nature and the flesh? Right? Or, in this case, the sin nature isn't here anymore because he died and was buried. But when he was up here, this is the nature of man. All right? We no longer have a sin nature. We have a Christ nature. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. But when Andy was up here and he was black, this is the sin nature. This combined is the flesh. Do you remember I did those concentric circles? It's the soul and the body together that the Bible calls the flesh. This is called the soul. This is called the body. Together they're called the flesh. This is called the soul. This is called the spirit. Together they're called the what? The heart. This is the heart of man. This is the flesh of man. So, what's the difference between the sin nature and the flesh? This is the sin nature. This is the flesh. The sin nature died, was buried, and is no more. Literally, you don't have it anymore. You do. If you're born again, if you've accepted Christ, this is literally the picture of you. You do not have a sin nature anymore. So why do I sin? That's what we're talking about. So what happens is, here I am, another person. Just picture there's three of us, and I represent the body, okay? And I'm not operating very well in the spirit, and so I'm like, hey man, you're an idiot. Yeah. So then he's going to respond like that, and then you find yourself responding like that, and it's another sinful act, and you're like, I don't feel very sanctified and very holy and very all these things that Brad's been talking about. Hopefully it's not that. I hope it's because you've been reading it in the Word. And you're like, you know, so because you reacted that way. And then another situation, hey man, you know, and you react the same way, right? Just another sinful act. And so the Bible says that we are to put off the old man because it's growing corrupt through these actions. But instead, we are to operate by the Spirit. How do we do that? How do we operate by the Spirit? This is what God's called us to. We need to look into the mirror of the Word, it tells us in James. That's the only way you're going to know. So I say, amen. But now he gets wise and he looks into the mirror of the Word. And what's the Spirit man telling him to do? He's saying, love him, hug him, kiss him. It's all good, right? He offers him the right thinking. He's like, think like this, man. And he says, I cast down every imagination that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. I put on the mind of Christ instead. So then he tells his body, we're going to love him. Oh, so it's just all loving. And so then he takes out some of the sinful actions and replaces it with a godly response. This is what we're called to. And then when it happens again, I act. Even though I act ugly, what are you going to do? What's this person going to do? He's going to stay. He's looking in the law of liberty. He says, love him, man. Love him. Love him. So he tells him, yeah, so we're just going to love him, right? Okay, that's enough loving, okay? And so that's even more transformation that happens. The sin goes away. We got a little more. I'll help you out there a little bit. And it's another righteous act. It says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but rather present them as instruments of God for righteousness. Right? Present yourself as instruments of God. And so this is what happens. We start becoming more like Christ in this action. And then over a period of time, we continue to walk in this, the Bible says in Hebrews, can you give me Hebrews 5:12 up here? And are you able to do other versions? Go ahead and do New King James right now, but then I want to show you another version because it's kind of a difficult verse to understand. But it says this, that's not what it says. But Hebrews 5:12 says, in a great house, actually starting verse 13, it says, oh, you got to turn that off. In a great house, there are vessels of gold and of silver, of wood and of clay, some for honor and some for dishonor, right? And those who are mature by reason of use, and in the Greek, what that said is by practice. Exercise their senses. That's what was happening there. Exercising their senses to do good. To be able to discern between good and evil and do what's good. And as we continue to do that process, you notice how the black was coming off and the white was going on. We become transformed and we become more like our spirit man. This is what we're after. This is the transformation process. Paul says it this way, if you want to go ahead and put this up, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse, we'll go with like 14 through 16. It says this, for the love of Christ, the love of Christ constrains us, for we judge thus. He says, here's why it constrains us, because we judge thus. In other words, we recognize something. We judge thus. That if one man died for all, then all died. He's talking about Christ. If Christ died for all of us, then all, the old man, died. If he died for all of us and we've accepted him, then we died. Do you get that? For if one died for all, then all died. Is that what it says? And then he confirms, and he died for all. Just in case, you know, you were wondering about that, he confirms it. He died for all. That those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14, and just go like through really 21, the rest of the chapter, it's awesome. The whole thing's talking about the same thing. It's saying this is how we should act. And after you've done that, you know, before, I hit him with a, you know, you're an idiot, or I do a selfish thing, or I do something that betrays you or hurts you, or you know what it is. I mean, how many of you lived? You know, we all take hits on a regular basis. God has called us to a certain response. So what we have to do initially, we find ourselves looking in the Word, because initially you're like, you know, you just want to crack them, you want to say some things. But until you practice, you have to say to yourself, now what would God do? What would God do? What's God called me to? Oh yeah, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, is not puffed up, does not seek its own, etc., right? Okay, I suffer long, man. I can take this. This is good. I'm going to love them. And so it takes practice, and you just do the love act. So then he hugs me, does the love act. But then, after you do it and you keep doing it, what happens is pretty soon you take a hit and it's just an immediate response of love. It's not this whole long process of thing. It just becomes natural because it's really who you are. But we have to apply ourselves to this transformation process or it's never going to happen. You're going to find yourself operating out of the sinful reactions that was trained. When you had a sinful nature, it instantly, from birth, stained your body and your soul. You have the black mind. You have a mind that's in darkness, alienated from the life of God, it says in Ephesians. And Paul says, let us no longer walk like the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, with their understanding being darkened, alienated from the life of God. You're not experiencing the life of God because your mind is still thinking like the world. Paul says, let's no longer be like that, but let's operate. He says, put off the old man and put on the new, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. Let me touch on that verse real quick, because that can throw people off. That verse, it talks about, I think maybe I can let you guys go. Yeah, because you guys get the picture. I may refer to it, but this way they can sit down. And awesome job, man. Thank you very much. Yeah, I didn't even finish that, did I? For the love of Christ constrains us because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died. That we who live should no longer live for ourselves. We should not be living our life for ourselves anymore. It's not about us. Well, you hurt my feelings. Christ says, listen, I died for them. And therefore, he says, from now on, we regard no one, they're still here, we regard no one according to the flesh, but the Spirit. We need to say something to ourselves every time we're dealing with a child of God is, you know what, I know they're born again. I know what I'm getting right now, that reaction, you know, like he was doing in the beginning, that's their flesh. And my flesh may be responding too, this is not good. I'm going to operate out of my spirit because I know who I really am. I'm not a sinful nature person anymore. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And I'm going to regard them according to their spirit. I know who they really are. I see what's going on. It's just being, Paul's saying, let's just be smarter than what you see with your eyes. That's just the flesh. Husbands and wives, this will really help you in your marriages. I mean, seriously, if you think about this, if you get this mindset, your marriage can just soar. You start responding to each other, not according to the flesh anymore, but according to the Spirit. You say, you know what? They may do something that's kind of bad. This is what I was saying to you guys your wedding. It's like, you know, when someone acts ugly, and then someone else might even try and help you out, because the devil will make sure people will help you out. Man, can you believe what they just did to you? I saw that. Did you see that? You say, no, I don't see nothing, man. It's all good. I know they're a child of God. Woo, they're good. They're beautiful. We regard them according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. For even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, Paul says, we know him thus no longer. We don't even know Christ according to the flesh. All of our relating to Christ is in the Spirit. And he says, relate to everyone else the same way. Therefore, he goes on to say, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That word, it's two Greek words. The word new means new. The word creation is ketesis, and it means original formation. So it would have been good enough to say original formation. That's an original formation. But he says, no, it's a new original formation. It's like a double emphasis. Brand new, never been there before. Just what you saw happen here literally happened to you. Your spirit man is brand spanking new, and Ephesians tells us, Ephesians 1:13, as well as other verses, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit so that your spirit can never be tainted again, ever. Can't be tainted. Your spirit can never be, we were born of what kind of seed? Incorruptible. We were born not of corruptible, but incorruptible seed by the word of God. What does incorruptible mean? Can't be corrupted. It's incorruptible. That's who we are in Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit. We should see everyone based on that. Now, let me give you some motivation as to why we should do this. This is just one of many, but this is a really powerful one. It says, we just read that in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, that in a house there are In a great house there are vessels of gold and silver and of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. And those who are mature eat the solid food. Solid food belongs to those who are mature, right? That is, those who by practice have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It means they, if you read that in the Amplified, it really helps it out. It basically says, by using mental faculties and all your senses, you think it through, you act out of your spirit, and you become good at it, where it becomes second nature to you. I'm going to give you an example that's going to seem really, I think probably really silly to you. I was really hesitant to use this. I thought about it before. I already decided, no, I'm not going to use it. But for whatever reason, I decided I'm going to use it now. I have always been, since I was young, I've always been the one that, I'm like a lover. I love to hug people. I hug everyone, you know. I love people. But as I got older, didn't know the Lord, as I got older, the world took its toll on me, I guess, I don't know. And I got to the point where I became very stoic. And I was in business, I was very successful in business. I didn't own a pair of tennis shoes, I didn't own jeans. I was in a suit or dress clothes all the time, always on time, you know, and I was rocking and rolling, I was successful in business, but I became very kind of stilted or stoic. I don't know if that's really the right definition, but I didn't tell people I loved them anymore. I didn't hug anybody. I bet you most people who even know me right now probably don't even remember because it's been quite a while, but I was like that. And then I got born again and I got radically saved and I got on fire for God, but I still could not bring myself to say I love you to people, and I couldn't hug anybody. It was just like not me. Well, I began to study this. I began to see this idea of this transformation and how I'm supposed to undo the staining of sin and take on the Christ-likeness that's in me. And I knew that Jesus wasn't like that. When I read about my Lord in the New Testament, he hugged everybody. He loved everybody. He would love, I mean, everything about him. The kids, you see the kids run to him. You know, kids don't run to meanies. They don't run to bullies. They run to the loving people. The kids love Jesus. And I just kept saying to myself, this is not of Christ. I need to act like Christ, right? And I remember I was with my brother John, and we used to travel to this place by this lake and a mountain just to hang out and be with God. Sometimes we'd go to that place by ourselves. Sometimes he and I would go together. And usually, you know, we'd just both be reading the word, but he'd be a little bit further away down by the lake, a little further down, and I'd be over here just so we could separate and read the word and pray. We'd just hang out, you know, all day together. And we were leaving one day. We packed it all up, and then I had the cooler on my shoulder, and I'm walking to the car, and he's, you know, like 20 paces behind me, and I've been working on myself about this issue for weeks or months, I don't know. And I was like, hug your brother, man. Hug him. Come on, man. And I'm like, oh, you know, I can't do it, man. It's just not me, you know. And I'm just walking. I got this cooler on my shoulder. And I finally just said, are you going to do what the Word of God says? Are you going to be a doer or are you going to be a hearer only? And I just put it down. I set it down. And I turned around. I walked back, gave him a big hug, went over, picked up the cooler, put it on my shoulder, and just started walking again. My brother just drops everything, busting belly over laughing. Because it was just so ridiculous how I did it. He was like, okay then. You know, he's like still holding stuff, and I just come up and hug him, and then he would walk off, and he just starts laughing. It's like, I guess he could see the struggle that I was trying so bad, and he's laughing. And I walked off, but you know what? It broke something. And then, it was like the next day, I saw him, I said, hey man, come here, man. I just gave him a hug. It was a lot easier the second time. And then I did it again, and then I was talking to a friend of mine, Greg Lesher, called me up on the phone just a couple days later, said something to me. We were just talking. And then at the end, I said, all right, man, love you. Dead silence. What was that, Brad? We're good, man. We're good. Cool. Hung up. And I really said it without thinking, but he was stunned. And he told me about that lady. He goes, dude, you floored me. I almost fell over. I could not believe you said, I love you. Well, it only took a little while, a little pushing through the flesh And then a river, the dam broke, and I was back to the real me, which was really now God that was empowering me. So I just say that's just a simple example to say it literally is that practical. It's just doing it. It's doing what you know is the true you. This isn't positive thinking, teaching. This isn't, this is really important that you get this. I'm also not saying that you do this as an act of just pure willpower. What I'm trying to say to you is what the Bible says, and that is that you really are born again. That Christ literally dwells in you. That your nature, read 1 Corinthians 13, right? The definition of love. Love is long-suffering and is kind. Love is not puffed up, does not parade itself, does not behave rudely, and does not seek its own. Read that, but when you read it as what it is, the definition of you. I am long-suffering and I am kind. I am not puffed up. I do not behave rudely. I do not seek my own. I believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. I never fail. I never fail in loving people. It is literally a definition of you. Christ in you. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, right? God is love. That's a definition of love. Or you could say it's a definition of God. Well, guess what? Now you can say it's a definition of you. Read it and realize that's really who you are. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit, not of the soul or of the body. It's a fruit of the Spirit. However, we have a part to play to pull that out, to draw that out. We have a part to play. We have to act out of our will for it to be triggered. That is triggered, your will is triggered, by your mind. Your mind has to say, what does the word say? I'm going to do that. That's what we're doing. And then your will says, okay, because your will responds to your mind. And then out of willpower, you put down the cooler, you turn around, and you hug your brother. That just took sheer willpower to do it, but knowing all along, this is who I really am. When I did that, the Spirit of the Lord was released and began to flood my soul and my body. And within a matter of short period of time, it literally became me. Now, if I had a sin nature, do you know I could do that as an act of my will? It would never become me. I would have to keep doing it as an act of my will and keep doing it as an act of my will and keep doing it. And eventually I would cave. This is the beauty of being born again. If you will do who you are, if you will act a part of who you are, it will become who you are and you will naturally begin to flow in it. It will take over like a river. It will literally become who you are. There's so many more verses, but I'm out of time. I would encourage you to read, for example, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses about 19 to 22 or somewhere in there. And it says that this is what I was trying to say. Motivation. One of the reasons you want to do this is because if you do this, if we act out this part, you know, the spirit, soul, and the body, we respond by our spirit and not by our flesh, and we do what the flesh says. If we continue to do that and we become more like Christ, the Bible says we become fit and useful for the master. If you've been saying a lot, God, why don't you use me more? God, I want to be used more of you. You know, I don't know where anyone is, you know, but if God is not using you very much, it's more than likely you're not doing this. You're still acting out of your flesh. And because, now, God's love towards you is unchanged. His love isn't based on you. His love is based on him. So that doesn't change. God loves you just the same whether you do this or not. However, he can't use you or me. He's a responsible father, and he's very wise, and he's not going to send a reckless child out there to a world just for them to do damage in the world. Character is very important to God, and that's what he's after. He's after developing character in every one of us so that we can be used mightily by him, right? So that's what this does. This forms Christ's likeness in us. So Hebrews 5 says that, Hebrews 5, 14 and 15, that's what I mentioned earlier. By reason of use, hey Sam, you're taking over, man. By reason of use, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The verse previous says they become a vessel of honor, a vessel. You know what a vessel is? Something. Yes, something that carries something else and can spread it out. God's going to use, we're the vessel. God wants to go through us. We decide if we become a vessel of honor. It says in 2 Timothy that it says crucify the flesh with its desires, and then it goes on to say that if we cleanse ourselves from the latter, we become useful for the master to be used. We have to do it. We have to make a decision. God says, listen, I've already done my part. I gave you my spirit. My power is within you to do this. Now you've got to do it. I'm not taking over your will. I gave you a free will. I'll never take it over. You have to, as an act of your will, submit to me. I'm inside of you. I want to move out through you, but I'm not going to force myself on you. God's a gentleman. He'll never, never force himself on us. He didn't force himself on you to get saved, and he's not going to force himself on you to act like Christ in the earth. It's up to us. We have to submit to it, and then the power of God will empower us to be like him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Still before 1:30. Praise God. So let's just pray quickly before I say anything else. Father God, we thank you so much that we are in fact filled with your Spirit, and that we can live and walk by the Spirit. And we say yes to it, Father God. We submit ourselves to it. Lord, we repent of bad attitudes and all that. We repent. You know what it means to repent, right? Change your mind. Go a different direction. Father, forgive us. We repent of acting out of the flesh. We say we change our mind. We decide we want to submit ourselves to you and to your ways. Father, we die to ourselves. We choose to live instead for you, the one who died for us. Not only died for us, you died for the very one that we're acting ugly with. Father, we choose your way, that we would become more like you and therefore more fit to be used by you, Lord. Father, I pray that by your Spirit you would seal this word in all of our hearts, mine included, Father, that it would not be lost, but it would grow and produce abundant fruit in us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray your blessing on every person here and everyone at the sound of my voice. Lord, that you would pour out a special blessing on them this week, Lord, that would carry them through the week. I pray for revelation knowledge to be given to them specifically in this area throughout this week, Father, that when opportunities present themselves, Father, that you would speak to their heart right then and say, this is it. This is that time to love. This is that time to love instead of hate. To hug instead of pushing away. Thank you for it, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.